endeavor into the Word of God and drill deeply into a couple of sections of Scripture this morning. How many want to be washed by the water again? Wash us, Lord, by the river of God. What an amazing, amazing grace. This morning, we're going to talk about how God's gifts help build His church. This is part five of God in Your Midst. God's gifts help build His church. Why do you come to church? Why do you do it? What is it? Worship. What is it? Worship the Lord. What's that? What was that, Jeannie? To learn God's Word. Who else? What's that? Fellowship. Fellowship. Good. Anybody else? To be equipped. Good. To meet with God. Excellent. All of those are fantastic reasons why we come to church. And one of the most important things we want to do as we come to church is learn how to build what God wants to build God's way. How many of you know God's a builder? He's a builder. Jesus said He was going to build something. How many remember what Jesus said He was going to build? His what? His church. So we want to build God's church God's way. How do you do that? By drilling into and being washed by the water of His Word. That's where we find the answers. What is it you want to do? Now, tragically, you guys, in recent days, you've heard of the earthquake. Now, we've got our own share going on the East Coast. I think there's at least 300 people that have died just in Italy alone in that one area where the earthquake occurred. And you can see here on this next one possibly a little bit better where that took place. And there we go. There's Rome, and it is in terms of proportion to Rome. And so I've got a picture here before and after. There's the main street, and there's after. You see the red building there? That gives you your perspective of what that street now looks like. And that city, the mayor of that city, has declared our city is history. And there are needy people everywhere. Back here in our own country, down south and back east, and people suffering through floods. We need to really be in prayer and tangible support with whatever we can do. But one of the most important things, I believe I saw a picture of a newer section of this city that wasn't devastated like this, some of the housing areas, because some of the newer building methods take into account earthquake proofing. Now, you can only do so much, but earthquaking and earthquake proofing is crucial for building right here in America today as well. Jesus says He will build His church. Where does He tell us to build our house? On the solid rock. Not on the sand, lest we have trouble. And some of these were built wonderfully, I'm sure. Our hearts go out for them. But what an illustration of Matthew chapter 7. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. And does what? And does them. I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was, please say it with me, founded on the rock. So why do we do church? We've talked about in recent weeks about building God's house God's way. We are continuationists, not cessationists. We believe the Spirit of God is still moving today. And the Spirit of God is alive and active in His church. And the gifts of God are still alive and vibrant today. And the verse that says, when the perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. And some people say, well, that means the Bible being written. But how many know the Bible is the Word of God on which we build our lives? But the church is not yet perfect. And we are not yet perfect. The perfect refers to Jesus Himself. And when He returns, that which is in part will be done away. And we need the Holy Spirit involved in our life in order to build our house on the rock. Can someone say amen? Amen? What's God's purpose? Why do we do church? What's God's purpose and goal in building? We're going to take a look at that quickly this morning. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8 through 16. If you want to thumb over to it in your own Bible, if you don't have a Bible with you this morning, I know Bill and others in the room would be happy to get you one. But I will be putting those scriptures up here as well. It's just so good to be able to see it in your own set of scriptures. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8 through 16. Ephesians 4, verses 8 through 16, and I'm reading from the New King James Bible this morning. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. That sounds like a lot of doublespeak. In fact, the rest of this verse may sound like that. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. You've heard of Abraham's bosom. You've heard of the kinds of places where souls who had died in faith were being kept. And the devil has different souls being kept. And Jesus died on the cross, suffered all the punishment for us, went into the deepest parts of hell. He preached to captivity. And when he rose from the dead, he took captivity, those of faith, captive and into the very presence of God to live in eternity. How many are glad for the good news of what Jesus has done? He's done it all, that he might fill all things. And he himself, then he gave. So Jesus ascended, and the Holy Spirit came upon us. Acts chapter 2, remember the day of Pentecost. So what else came? He himself, Jesus, gave some to be apostles. He gave gifts to men. He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Why do we come to church? How many know we have some growth yet to gain? How many want to come to the fullness of Christ? I do. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may, say it with me, grow up. Say it again. May grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. By which what? Say it with me. Every part does its share. And that, by the way, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Jesus gave gifts. Jesus gave gifts. Now, this basically, verse 8 here, is a quote from Psalm 68, verse 18. It's referring back. The picture that is given here is of a conquering war hero who returns from military action and returns as a victorious army general who has defeated the enemy. The conquering hero ascends the hill into the town, into the city, and behind him come all of those he has taken captive, those who are captured, and they are now slaves. And he comes in, and the whole city erupts in cheers, and he distributes out with his army, handing out all sorts of gifts to the people who have been cheering for their conquering war hero. In this case, Jesus conquered sin, death, the devil. How long? Forever. Come on, he defeated the devil forever. And he comes and he's distributing gifts. He says, I'm the conqueror. By the grace of God, the Lord has poured out his Spirit, raised him from the dead. Death was defeated. Illness was defeated. Sickness was defeated. That tragedy that befalls man is the sting of death is defeated because of Jesus. He says, so, like the conquering war hero, as we cheer for him, he distributes gifts. That's the picture that's in that perspective and in that section of Scripture. He turns to the thief. He says, today you will be with me where? In paradise. Jesus took that punishment. And he led God's people into heaven to be with the Father. So Jesus gives gifts. Now, say it with me, please. His gifts are people. Now, again, the Holy Spirit is the greatest gift. But then he gives gifts. Turn to each other and say, "You're really a cool gift. You're a cool gift." He gives people. Now, we look in the Scriptures, we drill down in this, and we understand there is such a thing called the Ascension Gift Ministries. The ministries that Jesus gave to His church as He ascended. They are the fivefold ministries. And the fivefold ministries, apostle, who can say them with me? Prophet, evangelist, pastors, and teachers. Those who say leadership in the body of Christ mean nothing. I'm a Christian. I'm just going to go free, do my own thing, wander through the pasture of life. And if that's your attitude, you're going to step in some doo-doo in the pasture of life. Come on, smile. It's a little fun here, right? But he designed his body to work in a way with a fivefold ministry. He poured it out for a reason. For a reason, he gives these gifts to the body of Christ. Now, when we talk of the gifts of the Spirit, sometimes we wonder, all right, which ones? There are people with office gifts. There are miracle gifts. There are utterance gifts. We'll talk of those in another week or so. There are gifts of his expression. But why? What is God's purpose? What's God's heart? Why do we do church? What is it? You know, listen, guys, it's easy. In today's day and age, 21st century, who cares? A lot of people don't care about church anymore. It's not convenient. I worked all week long. I deserve my time off. Well, guess what? Your 2 hours you could have got up and come into the presence of the Lord on Sunday morning would do you a lot more good than laying on your bed for another 2 hours. Sometimes we wonder, huh? Does you a lot more good. Built up in the presence of God, understanding the Word of God, drawn closer to Jesus, more effective. You're honed, you're sharpened, you go out transformed in His image. He's worked with you, He's worked with me. The Holy Spirit preaches as many different messages as us. There are people in the room, and we go out built up in His presence because there's a world to reach for Jesus Christ. And when we are made stronger, we get to go out and reach people for Jesus more effectively than ever. Can someone say amen? When I go to church, I get strengthened. I go out and I'm encouraged in the Lord. I've got hope in the Lord. I've got life in the Lord. I've got some resurrection power in the Lord. I go out of here, I feel like Tony the Tiger. Okay, Kevin the Koala. How's that? No, but we get built up in the Lord. Why do we do all this? What's His purpose? What's His heart? These Ascension Gifts Ministries equip, furnish, and perfect. Help us be tooled up, equipped, and ready. The Greek word katotismos, a complete furnishing of the people of God. That's the point of the ministry, to completely furnish the people of God. How many in this room have ever built a home? All right, several of them. Many of you have built a home. How many loved every process, every part of it? One hand, okay? Sometimes it gets a little old, but how many know when the shell is up, it isn't done yet? And in fact, even when it's finished, it's not done yet. You can't use it until it's furnished. You can't use it for the people who built it for the purpose for which they built it until it's furnished. You can't have guests into the house. You can't stay over. You can't do what you want to do until it's furnished. God wants us completely furnished and tooled up. What's the point? Why does He perfect us? For the work. Come on, say it with me real loud, church. For the work of the ministry. Who does the work of the ministry? Pastor Kevin. No. How many? There you go. All of us. Now, the old paradigm, the old perspective was the pastor does everything. He gets there first. He leaves there last. He sweeps. He teaches. He preaches. He sings. And he listens to his friends say, yeehaw. Pastor does everything. If anybody's going to get prayed for the sick, pastor, come on over and do it. If anybody's going to get delivered, pastor, come over and do it. That's the old paradigm. That's not what this teaches. This teaches what the pastor's job to do is to equip the people of God so they understand how strong they are in the presence of God. They understand they're clean, they're free, they're forgiven, there's no shame. They leave built up knowing that they're full of the Spirit of God. And when it comes time to pray for the people on their block or somebody in their house or somebody in their family, they know they're equipped to do the work because they're equipped to do the work of the ministry. And praise God, a pastor can come along and be there. He'd love to be there every time you're praying, but you've got the anointing of Jesus running through your hands because He's running through your heart. For the work of ministry. The ergon. Ergonomics, right? Ergonomics. Ergon. To work, toil, and act, a deed, doing labor. The work of ministry. And the Greek word for ministry is diakonia. The attendance as a servant. To aid, to do service. The work of ministry. So the job of the leadership team is to minister in such a way so the church, the people, know that they're equipped. I'm going to be really honest with you. Some of you have known some teachers and preachers in the body of Christ who haven't been perfect. Some of you know sheep who haven't been perfect. How many know all of us need Jesus and none of us are perfect yet? But there was a real emphasis in the body of Christ on teaching and releasing the gifts of the Spirit in the 80s. And we went, several of us went to a John Wimber conference. Anybody remember John Wimber? John Wimber was a precious man of God. He was the manager of the Righteous Brothers. Anybody remember the Righteous Brothers? He was involved in the secular industry, helped produce the million sellers, and et cetera. And then the Lord got a hold of him and changed his life. And he started off, I think he was a close associate with Calvary, Chuck Smith, Calvary Chapel, the Jesus movement out of there. And he began a whole movement called the Vineyard Ministry. And we went in the 80s. He basically taught a series of conferences across the body of Christ, releasing prophecy and releasing healing in the body of Christ. So his teaching was aimed to then go into workshop. And then he said to everybody, all right, now pray for each other. Healings right and left all over the place as the people of God moved into the ministry. It wasn't all come to the platform. It was release the gift of God to be able to be functioning in the people of God. Now, a lot of those people weren't perfect. I remember telling some people that, I've been to a number of secular conferences, and when they take breaks, what do people, it's not a Christian conference, what do? During breaks. Go light up, do whatever. This conference in the 80s, were people not sanctified? Because every break, man, they were lighting up. I got more smell of smoke on my clothes while people were praying for each other, walking through the lobby. I'm going, what's not right about this? How many know God cleans us up as He takes us on? It doesn't mean the ministry was invalid. It means there's still some changing that God's doing with all of us. The point being, though, there was a release to the body of Christ for people to understand that we all can do the work of the ministry. I think God delights in touching every one of us and in moving in His gifts through people who sing a song, have tongues and interpretation, prophecies, vision, understanding. We take the time to share because as we share between all of us, we get a picture of what God wanted to do that morning. And we hear His heart. Can someone say amen? We hear the heart of God. If we just came and you just listened to one preacher and nobody ever said a word and we sang three hymns, sat down, then sent you out the door, would your experience be as rich in the Lord as it is by listening to what God is saying to His family together? Every one of you hath a psalm, doctrine, hymn, revelation. That's what it says in the Scripture, right? So that's what we try to take the time to do. For the work of the ministry, and what's the work of the ministry to do? Edify the body of Christ. The saints are trained, the saints are furnished, equipped by the fivefold ministry to grow and be equipped for the work of the ministry so that the body of Christ is built up. The Greek word, oikodome, architecture, a structure, confirmation, a building, so the church is built. What is God's purpose? To make us mature. To make us like Jesus. I know. You look at me and you go, you got a way to go. I look at you and go, you too. We're in it together. We have a ways to go. But what's His purpose? To bring us, the Scripture says, I'm just repeating the Scripture, to bring us to a unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God. Anybody want to grow in understanding Jesus better? To a perfect, mature man, man meaning generic, man and woman. I want to be everything He wants me to be. I want to do what He wants me to do. I want to be that mature person to the measure of the fullness of Christ. To no longer children, the Bible says, tossed about by error. That's what that phrase means. I don't want to be tossed about by error. I want to be strong in the Lord, speaking truth in love and growing up in Christ, growing to be just like our head, like Jesus. Let's get that scripture one more time to confirm this purpose. What are we after? From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. Now listen, look at each other. Say, you're a nice looking joint. Say that to each other. Now, some of you from the 60s, get that out of your mind now. You're a nice-looking joint. Wait a minute. By what every joint supplies. Maybe you look at me this morning and say, I don't understand enough. Or I'm too old. I'm retired. And Jesus says, no, you're refired. He puts the fire back in And you look at each other and go, what can I do? You can pray. Look at each other right now and say, I can pray for you. Your need isn't too big for me. It isn't too big for the Lord, okay? Your need isn't too big for the Lord. And so we are here in the body. Every joint supplies life. According to the effective working, by which, I'd like you to say this next phrase with me, by which every part does its share. Say it word by word, just like every part does its share. And that causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Watch this. Every joint supplies, every part does its share for the body to grow. Then the church is strong. And why is the church made strong? Just so we're fat and sassy? No, because we've got a big job to do, church. There is a dark and dying world in need of Jesus. There are people going into a Christless eternity that need to know that God so loves the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I was talking to my friend Billy last week, and we were, I don't know, I think we were with somebody else, and we were chatting, and Billy and Debbie came into town, and he goes, we joined every single group we could join, the yacht club, we joined this club, so we could reach people for Jesus. And isn't that what it's all about? Come on, isn't that what it's all about, church? You are right where God has you. We're not just a local little city church. We're a regional church. You look around and go, we're a regional church. People come here from all over the region. And God's got you right where He has you, whether it's Port Townsend, Port Hedlock, Irondale, Chemicum, up in Squim, or Port Angeles, doesn't make any difference. God knows who you can help. So we come to church, we get strengthened, we get taught, we get more sensitive to His Spirit, we have the Word of God written in our heart, we're built up, we're encouraged, we're not ashamed, we're not held back, we're not condemned, the sins are separated from us, and we go out of here on top of the world! Because we're walking with Jesus and glad to be doing it. And we get to go out and bring good news to a lost and dying world. Why do you go to church? A lot of reasons, huh? A lot of reasons. God's gifts help build His church. Now, how about you this morning? How about you? What's Jesus saying to you? Where do you need help from the Spirit? And how can you simply receive that help? As we were talking this morning, Lord, we receive Your strength to go out and do. The Lord might just right now be dropping into your heart a picture of someone that God's given you a burden and an ability to reach. Let Him do it right now, right now, right in your spirit. And I believe some of you in this room know exactly who it is because the Lord just dropped it in. Some others of you, maybe there's something the Lord is speaking to your heart this morning to specifically encourage you about. You're not forgotten. You are not unseen. He knows exactly who you are, what you are, and what your need is. Some of you, I'm not asking for a show of hands, may need a greater sense of a feeling of the presence of God. It's wonderful to have the feeling of the presence of God, isn't it? Some of you, God's engaging you in your mind because you need to see some proofs. And the Lord says to you this morning, easy. Easy. Keep your eyes open. Keep your mind open. Because He's going to do it even this week. Now, Lord, we release throughout this congregation every answer to every need. Because You're the God who comes to build us up in Your Spirit. You've got Your big arms around each one. Each one of my friends here in this place. You've got Your big arms around us. Lord, we are Your people by faith. And this morning, we receive Your Spirit by faith. And we go out built up knowing that You've invested Yourself in us. You've equipped Yourself in us. And we go out to do what You've called us to do in Jesus' name. And they said,
Amen.
Amen. Would you stand with me, musicians? Will you come, please? We're going to go out. We're going to sing the first song that we started with. This is the day, and we will be glad because God is good. If you're here this morning and you have a need for physical healing in your body, there will be people over by these chairs to pray for you. If you'd like a freer release in the Spirit of God, there will be people to pray for you. Go out in the joy of the Lord because He's with you. Amen?
Amen.
Turn to each other and say, I'm glad He's with you. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with joy and hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And they all said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Be released in the joy of the Lord.